We're going to open the scriptures together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. The 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And in a moment or two, we're going to read a few verses together from the 13th verse of that chapter of God's Word. We're very encouraged by your presence and also by your faithfulness in coming along. Night by night, we appreciate that very much indeed. It makes such a difference to the meetings that they've been so well supported, and that has been a great blessing to our hearts. The Bible talks about days of heaven upon the earth, and these 2 weeks of mission certainly have been such. They've been a blessing to my own heart and soul. I have to confess a little touch of sadness to hear your minister speak of the last weeknight and then the final night of the mission come this Sabbath evening in the will of God. But it has been a blessing to be here and to be with you. I mentioned a little story to you last night. I was thinking of another today. A story of a lady that lost her husband. Lost him in the sense that he went missing one day. And after a number of hours, she got really concerned. Thought she'd need to go down to the police station and report that he was missing. She took her own sister with her for a wee bit of moral support. They're standing in front of the desk, and the sergeant says, "Madam, I would need a wee bit of a description of your husband just to put down in the record, and just so that we would know who exactly we are looking for." So the lady started to describe her husband. She says he's very tall, very fit, very handsome. Full head of dark hair, very swarthy skin, so on. She was going on giving all these details, and her sister standing beside her in absolute amazement with her mouth hanging open. And after a while she says to her, "You know, your husband doesn't look one bit like that. He's short, he's fat, he's bald, he's bow-legged, he could hardly walk the length of himself." She says, "That's right, but I don't want him back again." I'm going to speak in a few minutes about a farmer. I heard one about a young farmer that was having difficulty finding a wife. And he came on this idea that he would put an advertisement in the paper. And this is the wording of the advertisement that he put in the local press. Young farmer with 45 acres desires to meet young lady with tractor. Please send photograph of tractor. Amen. Mr. Spurgeon on one occasion, you know, was rebuked by a lady for having too much humour in the pulpit. And his reply to the lady was, "Madam, if you only knew what I held back." So we'll have to hold back a little tonight. Just to mention too, I was talking to Dr. Lindsay Wilson today. There down in Port Leash at the Ploughing Championships and having a very encouraging time. We're normally a part of that team, but primarily because of the wedding we had this week, we weren't able to go, and then the opportunity came to take part in these gospel meetings as well. He was telling us that yesterday they had a record-breaking attendance. Last year they broke a record for the first time ever. For a single day, the attendance exceeded 100,000 people. They had over 200,000 people last year in total attended the Ploughing Championships. But yesterday, the attendance for the single day was in excess of 124,000 people. They had taken 34,000 calendars with them. It's a specially prepared gospel calendar that they take every year. And every year, the numbers that they take increases. And by lunchtime yesterday, they only had 6,000 of the 34,000 calendars left. Such was the interest in them. There's people come every year. They've taken the calendar over the years. They've got to know about the stand and the witness and so on. And they come looking their calendar, and in some cases calendars to take away for family members as well. So they've been very encouraged, a lot of very profitable conversations there too. So they'll be making their way home again this evening after the 3 days down there at the championships. Please remember those final meetings that your minister has advertised and announced tonight. Make every effort to be here. Don't slack off on the final few nights of the mission. Do all you can to bring others. Renew the invitation. Speak to your family and friends and encourage them to come along. I was reading recently, I had read it some time ago. It's a little verse of a poem that Leonard Ravenhill, the great revivalist and evangelist, penned. Let me just remind you of it. He said, "Can the mariner sit idle and hear the drowning cry? Can the doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Can the fireman sit idle, watch men burn, and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion when all the world around you is damned?" But there's a great challenge to our hearts, men and women, to reach out to lost souls. And the Lord has given us an opportunity to do that in these meetings. And we encourage you, be up and doing. Every effort that you can make, let us use great zeal just to bring men and women in under the sound of the gospel. We're going to speak tomorrow night in the will of the Lord on that solemn theme of the unpardonable sin. It is perhaps possible that some in the meeting tonight, some that have attended this mission, are in danger of committing the unpardonable sin before this gospel meeting comes to a close. And we'll highlight that and a sound of warning with regard to it. You come and hear the message yourself. Pray for that meeting. If there's somebody that you think that message would be suited to, you speak to them especially and encourage them to be here. We're going to read just a few verses. It's Luke 12, beginning at verse 13. And we're reading down to the end of verse 21. Let us hear the word of God. "And one of the company said unto him," that's to the Saviour, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the reading of his word. The 20th verse I'd like to emphasize to you at the beginning tonight. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" As many of you are aware, I was brought up on a farm. I have very happy memories of those days on the farm. As a boy at school, even in my teens, I intended to be a farmer. To that end, I studied some agricultural courses, one at the college in Downpatrick, and then I went down to Cookstown to the agricultural college there. During those days, I attended the Cookstown Church. I can tell you many stories of the help that I received by the fellowship of God's people there, and especially Mr. Cook and his, or Mr. Stewart and his ministry and his fellowship in those days. But I spent the time down at Lochry Agricultural College. One of the things that they did when we attended the college there, they took us on farm visits. They would take us to the most prominent dairy farmer, pig farmer, sheep farmer, and so on, all across the province. Even after my days at Lochry, I remember going on farm visits when we were farming for a little while before going into the ministry. One of the most memorable was down to Dunleith's estates, down there at Ballywalter. I mentioned Lord Dunleith to you one night last week. And the reality is, the farmers in the meeting tonight would tell you, farmers do like to go on such a visit. They like to see somebody else's farm. They like to hear about another person's farm. They want to see the land, the buildings, the machinery, the stock, and all of those things. And whenever they're there in those visits, they ask all sorts of questions. What are the prices like? What sort of prices did you get this year? They want to compare those things. What sort of methods do you use in your farming? What sort of practices do you employ? And then sometimes, especially at this time of the year, the questions ask, what sort of harvest did you have? Well, men and women, for a wee while tonight, what we're going to do, I'm going to take you on a farm visit. We're going to go to this farm that we've read about in Luke chapter 12. We want to visit with this farmer, and we want to take a little look around the yard, a little look around the farm, and we want to see what's taking place on this farm and taking place in the life of this farmer at this particular time. And we want to ask this question, the one I emphasized a moment ago. What sort of harvest did this farmer have? It was harvest time on the farm. We've read about it together. And we're in the harvest time of the year also. We're engaged in the spiritual harvest. We rejoice to be a part of that. But the natural, the physical harvest has been brought in all around us. As I travel down tonight, I could see many farmers out in the field, and the plough is back on again, and the winter crops and so on are being prepared for sowing. So we want to think of, what sort of harvest did this farmer have? I'll emphasize to you first of all that he had what we could call a bumper harvest. If you look at the words of verse 16, it says of the Saviour that he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. I want you to see that this farmer had a very good year. The crops were excellent. The yields had been very big. You know, it's true to say, men and women, that this farmer never had a harvest like this before. He's found in a situation that was previously unknown to him. The yields were beyond what he'd ever expected, what he'd ever anticipated. They were way beyond what he'd ever known. Never in all his years in farming, never in all his years in working the land, had this farmer ever seen a harvest like this one. If ever there were record tons to the acre, he had experienced it. If ever there was what could be called a record year, this was it. If ever there was a bumper harvest, men and women, here it was. It was a prosperous harvest. I want you to notice from that 16th verse, this farmer was already rich. The verse says that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Well, if he had been rich before, his wealth had just multiplied. Here's a man that had just made a fortune on the land. He had no cash flow problems. Here's a farmer that would have a very happy bank manager. As a businessman, he was a success. As an individual, we could say tonight that he had it made. He was prosperous. And perhaps, men and women, the same could be said of you. This year for you has been very prosperous. It's been a very good year. Maybe you'd have to say and admit and acknowledge tonight, it's maybe the best year in business, the best year in farming that you've ever known. But let me say this to you. Before we get carried away with all this money, before we get carried away tonight with the size of this man's bank book, let's ponder this vital question. What is life all about? What is the real purpose for living here upon this earth? Is life all to do with money? Is there nothing more to this world, nothing more to this life than amassing wealth and accumulating property? Well, that, men and women, is what this man thought. That's the thoughts that were going through his mind. You look at the words of the Saviour there in that 15th verse. It says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know what the Saviour is saying? Do you know the warning that he's sounding, men and women? He's saying that life's not all to do with possessions. Life's not all about business and all about profits. There's something that is far more important. You see, the message of the parable, the purpose for which the Saviour told the story, was this: that the real purpose of life is to get your soul into a right relationship with God. You remember we considered that for a little while last evening. The real purpose of life, men and women, the real purpose that you're here upon this earth, is to get your soul into a right relationship with God. You think of verse 20. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Can I impress upon your hearts tonight, God is more interested in your soul than he is in your silver and your substance. And you ought to be as well, men and women. The greatest concern for you tonight as a person ought to be the soul that God has given to you. And I hope that you'll see that in this gospel meeting. At a funeral on one occasion, walking behind the cortege, you've all been there. You know the things that happen. You know the sort of talk and conversation that people engage in as they walk from the home or the church to the graveside. The man that had died on this occasion was a very wealthy man. As they were walking behind the coffin, two men in particular were in conversation about this man that had died. They were talking about his land, and they were talking about his property. They were talking about his wealth. And eventually the inevitable question came around. I wonder, how much did he leave? One man asked that question of the other. Do you know the answer the other man gave? He left everything. And I want you to remember that, men and women. You think of the words at the end of that 20th verse. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? How much will you leave when you go from this scene of time? You will leave all that you have, men and women. You ever realize that? Ever take that in? Think of Alexander the Great. Conquered the then known world. Did you know that when Alexander the Great died at a very young age, about 32, just ponder that for a moment, died at a young age, cut off early in life. Whenever he was laid in his coffin, at his own request, his hands were placed upon his chest. with the palms outward. And the reason for that was he wanted everybody to know that despite the great success that he'd had as a military general, despite the lands and the nations that he'd conquered and the wealth that he had amassed, that he left this world with nothing. He left this world empty-handed. And men and women, regardless of how rich you become, let me remind you tonight, there is a day coming when you will leave it all behind. Do you remember the words of Paul writing to young Timothy? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. You will leave this world exactly the same way that you came in. I'm sure you're familiar with the name of Steve Jobs, one of the most successful businessmen of modern times. Died about 3 years ago at the young age of 56. His own personal wealth or worth at the time of his death was in excess of $8 billion. A vast amount of money. But remember, he left it all. Left every bit of it behind. There's not one penny, men and women, not one single brass penny of all that you possess that you will take with you. There's only one thing that you possess that you will take with you from this world, and that is your soul. And therefore it's vital tonight, vital in the meetings of this mission, that you make sure that it is well with your soul. Oh, it may be well tonight with your bank balance, maybe well with your profits, well with you in finance and business. You've had that good year of which we have spoken. But here's the great question, men and women. Is it well with your soul in the light of eternity? Because remember, that's all that really matters when all is said and done and life draws to a close. It was a bumper harvest. I want you to notice as well that it was a busy harvest. You think there of verses 17 and 18. Let me read them for you. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Isn't it true, men and women, that farms are busy places at the best of times? But a farm is exceptionally busy at harvest time. Harvest is very busy in an ordinary year, but you think of how much busier the farm would be in an exceptional year. The extraordinary harvest, that means there's an extraordinary amount of work to be done. The extra loads of crop and grain and so on that have to be brought in from the fields, that's going to take more time. That's going to take more effort. So here's a farmer that's very busy. In addition to bringing in the harvest, he's launching out into a building program. Think of those well-known words in the passage. He's pulling down his barns and he's building greater. What that means is he's redesigning, he's enlarging the farmyard. So it's clear, men and women, all his energy, all his time is taken up with his business. It's a very busy harvest for this farmer. But let me tell you something about this man. Something very important, and it's this. This man was too busy. Did you get that, men and women? He was too busy. And maybe that's true of you tonight as well. Did you get God's estimation of this man as we read down the passage? Did it strike you? In verse 20, the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This man in the eyes of men was wise. He was a success. He was a good thinker. He was a good planner. All his neighbours, all his colleagues would have said, see that farmer there? Well, he's an able manager. He's very forward thinking. He's an astute businessman. That's what men thought and men said. But in God's eyes, this man was nothing more than a fool. Why was that, men and women? Why did the Lord describe him in that way? Let me tell you why. It's because he was so busy with all the things of this world that he had forgotten about God, forgotten about a soul and salvation, and they hadn't a thought for eternity. So taken up with this world, they'd forgotten about the next one. You see those words in verse 17, no room. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Those two little words sum up that man's life. No room. There was no room in the farm to bring in the harvest. But remember, men and women, more important than that, there was no room in this man's life for the things of God. And maybe that's true of you this evening as well. God was not in all his thoughts. Would that be a fair assessment of your life, your attitude, your approach, your thinking towards the things of God? You haven't a thought for the Lord and for the matter of salvation. You look again at those verses 17 and 18, even into verse 19. Let me read them to you again. Only this time let me put a little bit of emphasis. Look at what it's actually telling us. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, men and women, there's not a mention of God. Not a thought about eternal things. This farmer was selfish. Self-centered. He's only thinking about himself. Taken up with his own plans. Taken up with his business. Taken up with his farm. I tell you again tonight, he was too busy. I wonder if those words describe you this evening. Are you a person that's too busy for God? Too busy for his house? Too busy for his word? Too busy for the gospel message? Do you know the words of the old hymn? Room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he could enter in your heart for which he died. Is that you tonight? Can I ask you to stop and realize, men and women, that's the plan and ploy of the devil. The devil wants you to be too busy. The devil wants you to be engrossed in your work. He wants you to be taken up with worldly things. The devil will do all that he can. That's one of his devices. He will do all that he can to divert you away from the house of God and from the word of God and sitting under the message of the gospel. The last thing the devil wants is for you to have time for the things of God. Yes, he wants you to be too busy for church. He wants you to be too busy to attend the gospel mission. He wants you to be too busy to hear the gospel and to get right with God. A man that was too busy. Is that a description of you tonight? If it is, men and women, there's one more thing I want to tell you about this rich farmer's harvest. A busy harvest, a bumper harvest. Remember, it was a brief harvest. Brief because of this solemn fact, men and women. He wouldn't live to see the end of this harvest. The fact is, he wouldn't live long enough to see another harvest. Think of the words, verse 20. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. It's not a solemn verse, a solemn statement, a solemn pronouncement, remember, made by the Lord himself. You see, men and women, this would be the last harvest that this man would ever see. Not only would he never see another bumper harvest, the reality was he wouldn't even see another harvest. The best harvest he'd ever had, the best year that he'd ever enjoyed as a farmer, It was going to be his last year and his last harvest upon this earth. But you know, we can bring it in even much closer, men and women. Because not only would he not live to see another harvest, the fact is he wouldn't even live to see another day. The Lord said, "This night, this very night, thy soul shall be required of thee." You see, this man, like many another, thought he had all the time in the world. He thought he had plenty of time. It's not what he said. You have much goods laid up for many years. You see, he thought he had all the time in the world. I think he was a young man. A young man looking out on life. And he's his fortune made. And he thought that he hadn't another worry, another problem. He had enough money to see him right through life. He thought he had many years of his life still in front of him. But you know what the reality was, men and women? His life was as good as over. He had only but a few hours still left to live upon this earth. He was too busy. And before he knew it, he was in eternity. Dead, buried, and his soul was in hell. Could that be your situation as well? In the gospel meeting this Thursday night, your life is almost over. Do you remember David said, speaking to his friend Jonathan, "There's but a step between me and death." Isn't a step the shortest part of the journey? That shows you how near death was, just a step away. And maybe the same is true of you. Do you remember what Paul said, writing to Timothy at the end of his life? "The time of my departure is at hand." If you talk about something at hand, it's right beside you. It's almost upon you. And that's how it was for Paul. Death was at hand. And maybe the same is true of you too. Do you remember what Jeremiah said? He was bringing a solemn pronouncement of judgment upon a false prophet in Jerusalem in his day by the name of Hananiah. And this is what he said, men and women. "This year thou shalt die." Not a fearful thought. Before another year is up, before another 365 days have run their course, before the next summer comes, the next harvest comes around, you're going to be in eternity. If God was saying that to you tonight, "This year thou shalt die," you think of how serious that would be, men and women. But listen, what if God were to say to you, not this year, but what if God were to say to you this night, "Thou shalt die"? Your minister emphasized to us a little earlier that young girl in our province, just 19. Think of it. What if God were to say to you this night, instead of having weeks and months and years as you think to live, what if you've only got a few hours left upon this earth? And remember, men and women, that could be your position. Don't you fool yourself tonight. Don't you fool yourself into thinking anything different. Don't you be the fool that this man was. You remember the warning of the scriptures. "You know not what shall be on the morrow." You don't know what tomorrow could bring for you. The fact is, you could be dead tomorrow. Was not what happened to this man. Thought he'd all those years, all that time. But the very next day, he was dead and gone from this scene of time. You could be dead tomorrow. You may not live to see tomorrow morning dawn. The death angel could come and visit your home. The death angel could come for you this very night. If you want to view it in the analogy of the harvest, you think of the grim reaper not how we often view death. The grim reaper could come and cut you down, take you away, even this very night. Did you ever ponder the question, men and women, on a regular occurrence in the churches for funerals to take place? Members of the congregation die, there's times of sadness. Whenever you attend a funeral, did you ever think whose death will be next in this church? Whose death will be next in this congregation? Whose death will be next in your family circle? Whose death will be first after this gospel mission comes to a close? Will it be yours? Remember, as you sit in the meeting tonight, this could be your last day upon earth. God may not spare you to see another. This could be the last few hours, the last few minutes that you have here in this life. And if it were, men and women, if you were to die today, if you were to die this very night, remember, the great question is, where would you go? Where would your soul go? Would your soul be in heaven? Or would your soul be in hell? For you, would it be eternal life? Or would it be eternal death? Could you say, men and women, if you were to die tonight, it would be well with your soul? Do you remember last evening we were thinking of the most important relationship, being right with God? Well, if you were to die tonight, would you die in Christ? Or would you die out of Christ? I want to say to you, men and women, solemnly, we're here in God's house, we're before the Lord with His word open before us. I want to urge you, you make time to get right with God tonight. You make time in this meeting to be saved. To be saved now, to be saved tonight. Before for you it is forever. Just take that in tonight. Eternity's forever. You get right with God tonight before it is forever too late for your soul. I'll tell you this story just as a finish tonight. Mr. Nicholson, the great evangelist, what a ministry he had. In many ways, Dr. Paisley was the successor in evangelism of the ministry of Mr. Nicholson. There's one thing we need to pray now following the death of Dr. Paisley, it's for another great preacher, another great evangelist to be raised up in this land, in this province of ours. W.P. Nicholson grew up in Bangor, in County Down, brought up in a godly home. When he became a young man, maybe around about 16, thereabouts, he had a great longing to go to sea. As he lived in Bangor, he'd watched the boats go up and down the loch, and he had a love for the sea, a love for the ships. He wanted to go to sea, but his mother was very concerned. His mother was very anxious. She was concerned that he would get into bad company. She was concerned about the influences that would come to bear upon him and all the sins that he would get engaged in. But the day came and she realized, I'm going to have to let him go. And he went to sea, joined the merchant navy. And all the things that his mother feared came to pass. He lived a wild life. But you know, men and women, what he testified in later years, all those years when he was sailing around the world, all those years when he was engaging in sin, he was under deep conviction. The Spirit of God spoke and strove upon his heart. He decided he was going to come home. He'd had enough of the sea. It's a long story. I'll cut the story short for you. You read it yourself. Get Mr. Barnes's book on the life of W.P. Nicholson. You read the story yourself. He decided when he was in Cape Town in South Africa, he was going to come home. and he made the long journey. When he got into this country of ours, he decided he would send his mother a telegram just to let her know that he was coming in the Bangor. He made a mistake in what he wrote. He was coming in the morning on the 11 a.m. train, but he wrote he was coming in at night on the 11 p.m. train. And because of that, when he arrived, there was nobody there to welcome him at the train station. And what he drew from that was the fact that he thought the family wanted nothing more to do with him. All those years he'd been away, he hadn't communicated only once or twice with his mother and with his home. But he thought he was so near to home, he would just walk out the road just to see the old home place one more time. And as he was walking up to the gates, his mother came out with a big basket of washing into the garden, and she looked down and she saw her wayward boy. And she ran down and threw her arms round him and wept and embraced him and brought him in. A few days later, it was the 22nd day of May 1899. He was sitting at the breakfast table smoking a cigarette, one of the filthy habits he had learned when he was away at sea. His mother was just a few feet away, preparing breakfast, preparing a wee bit of food for him. And he said as he sat there, after all of those years of sin and the Spirit of God striving in his heart, as he sat there that morning, God spoke to him and said, "Billy, it's now or never." And just sitting there at the breakfast table that morning, William Pattison Nicholson lifted his heart to the Lord and he cried out to God for mercy. That was the day of his conversion. He just said to his mother, she had her back to him, "Mother, I've got saved." Well, you can imagine the surprise. "When, son?" He says, "Just now, mother, just sitting here, right now. I've just cried out to the Lord for salvation." You can imagine the joy in her heart. You know, W.P. Nicholson, when he gave his testimony in later years, he believed that morning, sitting there at the breakfast table, he had arrived at the deadline, the last, the final invitation, the final opportunity to get right with God. There is such a thing, men and women. And maybe on this second Thursday night of this gospel campaign, there's someone here, maybe a young person, maybe older, and you've been away out in the things of the world, as W.P. Nicholson was. But you've no peace. God's Spirit has followed you and troubled you for many a long year. Well, remember, maybe you're at the deadline tonight too. Maybe it is for you as it was on that May morning in 1899. For your soul tonight it is now or never. If you don't get saved tonight, if you don't come to Christ in this meeting, if you don't get right with God this evening, the solemn reality, men and women, is you may never be saved. You may never have another opportunity to get right with God. And in the light of that, I want to urge you to flee to Christ. I want to urge you, men and women, you need to press into the kingdom, into the kingdom of God. Think of the words that we sang a little earlier. Your minister emphasized them to us. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you. Is he calling you tonight? Well, you need to be in time. Be in time. You think of the words, how the little chorus ends. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate. How solemn that would be. Now or never, men and women. You think of the solemn words of our text as I finish this evening. God said unto him, "Thou fool, Nothing more foolish, men and women, to be so caught up in this world than you forget about the next. Thou fool, this night, just ponder for a moment how near you could be to eternity. How near you could be to the end of your life. This night, thy soul. That's the most important thing, your soul. Your soul shall be required of you. And what you need before you go from this place is a soul that's saved, washed in the blood, be able to give the testimony that it is well with your soul. I want to assure you, we're concerned for you if you're out of Christ, concerned for your soul, concerned lest after this meeting you go over the deadline and you never have an opportunity again to get right with God. That is the reality of the teaching of God's word. The Spirit speaks and strives, but God has said clearly that His Spirit shall not always strive with man. He can stop striving. God can withdraw the Spirit. And maybe that might happen for you tonight. You need to be aware of that reality. It ought to be a warning to your heart. Think of what it would be, men and women, never to have another opportunity to be saved. How dreadful, how awful that would be. You flee to Christ tonight. Flee from the wrath that is to come. We're going to sing a verse or two. 242. I'd like you to think of the words of the chorus especially. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. O be saved, His grace is free. O be saved, He died for thee. We're just going to sing two verses, 1 and 3. We'll ask you to stand to sing. And think very carefully, please. Think very carefully the words as you sing them tonight. In the message tonight, art thou waiting till the morrow? Maybe that's what you're thinking. I want to be saved and I will be saved, but just not tonight, maybe tomorrow. Art thou waiting till the morrow? Thou mayest never see its light. Remember that, men and women, there's not a guarantee you'll still be alive when tomorrow morning dawns. Think of the great appeal of the hymn, come at once. That's what you need to do before you go home tonight. Before you leave this place, without any further delay, without another moment's hesitation, come at once. Accept His mercy. He is waiting. What a blessing that is. The Lord's here tonight and He's waiting. And you know what He's waiting to do? He's waiting to receive you. And He's waiting to save you, to forgive you, and to bestow upon you the great blessing of his salvation. You ponder carefully the words, just the third verse and chorus, please. Person in this meeting. Oh, be saved. If there's anything that we could do to help you tonight, we're willing to do that. Time is not a problem. Whatever time it takes, however long it takes, whatever issues have to be discussed and questions have to be addressed, we'll take the time to deal with those things with you. But oh, be saved. Don't go away tonight without the Saviour. Well, thank you, Father, for this meeting and for your presence amongst us, for the power of God that has been known and experienced. And Lord, we're asking that the power of God and salvation blessing will come even to this place tonight. We're praying that this building will be, in truth, a soul-saving shop within a yard of hell. We ask that the Spirit of God will speak on. We pray that hearts will be troubled, that there will be those that will be concerned about their soul and eternity. And Lord, we're asking that you'll give grace tonight. Give the grace that is needed for those that are here without the Saviour to seek thee before it is forever too late. We think of those words that were sang to us a little earlier. The burdens are lifted at Calvary. We rejoice in that knowledge. And Lord, we want to pray that men and women and young people too will get to Calvary tonight. And like Pilgrim and Bunyan's great story, the burden of their sin and their guilt will be taken away. Father, hear our cries. And we pray for your blessing upon this meeting, every part, the word especially that has been preached. Go with us now. We pray that we'll leave in thy fear and with thy favour. And may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.